This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay. No, but I was sober.
Yeah.
Nah, we weren't thinking about TikTok in 2001.
That's fair. Yes. When I was in high school, they made us write like a letter to our senior self as a freshman.
Oh, and then cool.
I never got it.
The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
None of us ever got it. Don't know what happened to them.
See, like when they did that project, that was my thought was, man, the employees or whoever were like, save this for 6 years.
Yeah, not what happened in our case.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, internet world. West Alabama, how we doing today on this Thursday? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hanging out with you guys in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios right here off of McFarland Boulevard. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Derek Daniels can take care of you. 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. We appreciate Derek for letting us hang out in his basement doing the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You're live watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, Facebook page, on my own social media machines. You can find us at Joe Gaither 6. Send us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. You can be like our man Dax. Dax has a voicemail. I think it's on Linebackers. Dax, just to let you know, I was in Hoover last night and was just kind of MIA, just watching the baseball game. So I will respond to your text message as soon as we finish this show. And thank you for your call. But we're going to go with Dax on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We are going to go back to our Know Thy Enemy Georgia segment just a little bit. We really just need to get into their schedule, into what we think, where they're going to finish, kind of what their outlook's going to be. We want to talk about college football playoffs. Seems like some things are being changed today, which is good. Things like a good change is happening. It seems like the straight up seeding is going to occur. Look, it's cool. Take the four automatic qualifiers, but you just got to go in their right line. Yep. If they are 12, 11, 10, and 9, okay. If they're 1, 2, 3, and 4, okay, yep. Great. And so we look like we're going to get some straight up seeding coming, so we'll talk about that. We will have Katie Windham join us here in about 30 minutes or so. Katie Windham is going to be covering Alabama softball, going out to Super Regionals to take on the Oklahoma Sooners. She was all over it last weekend, so we will look for her to join us in just a little bit. And the Tush Push survives. Praise the Lord.
Can confirm that my Tennessee Titans are not soft.
Yes, the only NFC North team to vote for the Tush Push is the Detroit Lions. And I'm sorry, Miss McCaskey has passed away, but George Jr., Georgie.
Not off to a great start.
There. You're going to have some stones. It's a football play. Yeah, we'll start right there. We'll start right there because I'm very, you know, a lot of people think I'm some crazy softy, liberal, lefty. No. If you had killed the Tush Push, I would have lost my mind. I would have lost my mind from a competitive standpoint. From a one team has found a competitive advantage, get better or stop it. Get better or run it yourself. Like the simple fact, No, I love the fact that it was the Green Bay Packers who were the ones to bring it to the table. We need to ban the tush-push.
Softest team in the league.
Right, because we got Jordan. He can't do it, Jordan Love. And it's not fair. It's not fair to line up on third and one against the Eagles. Well, keep him out of third and one. It's not fair to be in fourth and one. Keep him out of fourth and one. The Green Bay Packers putting up the proposal to ban the tush-push. I would have really lost my mind from a competitive standpoint. It's football. This is not steroid. We're not shooting everybody up with steroids. Yeah. They're not cheating that way. I'm sorry, Jalen Hurts can squat 600 pounds, and they've got three great interior linemen, and they do the rugby push. Like, yeah, is that a little weird? The aiding the runner, okay, but you can aid the runner as well. I know my Bears have tried to get Cole Kmet under center, the tight end, to do it, yeah, and have failed. Like, it does take skill and grit and will and strategy, all of it. It's a real football play.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that it survived, because that would have really turned me off the NFL, to be honest.
In the discourse surrounding it, I did not know this, but we need to bring back the ability for teams on field goal blocks to do the same thing.
Yes.
Not even throw a guy over.
Like, to step on the guy.
To just have two. Like, I saw a video from, I think it was 2011 or something, was it 2013, something like that. And two players, direct one right behind the other. The guy in the back shoves the guy in the front right through the line. Same way you do with the tush push. He goes, blocks field goal. That is, you know, that's not allowed anymore. We got to bring that back to even it up some. I don't think you can take it away from one side of the ball and keep it on the other side of the ball. I don't love that. But no, it is just a football play. I think the line needs to be drawn at, and this is where it is drawn. You can't pull players forward. You can push them all you want.
Yeah.
You just can't grab them and yank them forward. I think that's perfectly fine, because once you start pulling people, I think that's when you get into a lot of injuries. More likely, it's a lot more likely that injuries will happen.
That's fair. That's fair.
But pushing is perfectly fine.
He with Jeff Loria and Jeffrey Lurie.
Oh,
the Eagles guy. You see, he gave a 30, 40 minute speech yesterday.
Amazing. They posted, as soon as it got announced on their YouTube page, a 26 minute compilation of every tush push from last season.
Good.
I watched the whole thing. It was fantastic.
I'm going to watch it when he's done.
It was genuinely incredible.
He says, I can't get to my text messages because they're all on my phone. I don't have it connected to my computer. It came through my group chat today. He says, The simple fact that the tush push is up for banning is a teenager's wet dream, for is what he said, because we have found a play that a competitor that has brought you to the table. And he says, no matter what the result of the vote is, we are walking away with our Super Bowl championship.
That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Got to give it to him.
Yes. We're walking away with our rings, and you guys can go cry about it.
I have such a hard time rooting for the Eagles.
Jalen.
I still just can't do it, even though there's so many Bama guys there. Devontae I still dislike Smith. The Eagles. But it is, I do love that. It's just like a middle finger to the rest of the league. Drop the mic. We're done here.
Yeah. If you guys vote to ban it, it's fine. We all know.
We all
ring right here.
Yeah, that's great. But I'm very glad that it did not get banned. Just like you said, it would have been so emblematic of the problems everyone has with the way football has gone. Oh, they're turning the game soft. You know, I don't know if you watch South Park. You know the episode where they wrap everybody in like tinfoil and put like bubble hats or balloon hats on them, and they have to like hit a balloon down the field. That's what they turn football into. My buddy was sending us the clips from that yesterday, talking about like this is what they're trying to turn the league into. And that is true, though. Like, had this passed, that would have been just another feather in the cap of the people that are making this argument of they're turning the league soft.
Like, I don't want to see anybody really hurt.
No,
but like,
nobody's gotten really hurt on this play. Not that I know of. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but I can't recall a single like bad injury that's been the result of a tush push.
No, it's just the fact that defensive coordinators can't figure it out.
Yeah. You know, you're at a disadvantage if you're the defense on this play. I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah, it's 1 yard.
You got 1 yard, and the offense knows when they're snapping it. Like, tough, buddy. You shouldn't have let them get within 1 yard.
Exactly.
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
On third and six, blitz your butt off to keep it out of fourth and one. Like, on second and ten, don't let Saquon Barkley have a 9 yard run.
Yeah, your game plan going into Eagles week should be, hey, we're not letting them get in third, fourth, and short.
Period.
Don't let them do it.
Period. If
anything you got to do,
let them go ahead and fall forward for first and 10, and we will restart.
Yes, let them get that first down. We're not getting tush pushed. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Drove me absolutely crazy to see. Oh, my lady, Julene. I love you, Julene. Look at her on the comment section. Gotta love the tush push.
She gets it.
Exactly. It's football.
I just don't. It really baffles me that no other team has been able to do it as successfully as the Eagles have.
Well, one of my buddies today says we all owe Josh Allen our gratitude because since Josh Allen could not do it, it proved that it was a skill based play, that it wasn't just automatic. Mah.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is just. I don't know exactly, I'm sure that there is some sort of specific teaching points in the way that they are taught to crash to the middle and block, whatever it is, and they've all got their hive mind working on the same goal, but it's just, I don't know how they do it, no one else can, but they do, and we shouldn't ban it. You shouldn't ban a team just for figuring out a good advantage. That is within the rules of football.
So I'm very happy that that happened. What else happened in the last day or two that we didn't get into that could be fun? Actually, we need to get into it because Hunter is going to write an article for BamaCentral.com today, and we need to give him a clip to put right at the top here. What happened with the Olympics in the NFL? What was this? The Olympics and the NFL. I read this right. Every team, every country in the Olympics, flag football is going to stay in the Olympics. It was last time, and great job. Every country is going to be allowed to employ, I think I saw one NFL player.
Okay. I didn't actually see that. Okay. This is good.
Okay. NFL, I did see Olympics. That, let me make sure I have it right because I'm pretty sure they did get allowed to participate.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
That's basically kind of where my understanding stopped. I didn't actually read the article about it, unfortunately.
That's okay. That's okay. We will spin it into much further than what it should be. We got to make it, as I look this up, start thinking about your all-time Saban flag football team. Right?
I saw people throwing Derrick Henry around.
That's a terrible choice.
That's a terrible pick for
awful choice. Okay, 32-0, so it was unanimous. The football players will be allowed to play flag football in the 2028 Summer Olympics. A maximum of one player from each team will be allowed to participate, and each club's designated international player is also permitted to take part for his... What? A maximum for one player from each team will be allowed to participate, and each club's designated international player... Okay. So it looks like two players will be able to play. Mm-hmm. One person just out of the 32. Yeah. And then if you have a special, like, is it Villanueva?
The NFL's been doing actually a pretty good job with, like, the international player pathway thing now. There's a lot of players from all across, Europe and Africa and Asia now. More and more every year, it seems like. I know the Titans just signed their international player. I can't even remember his name. It was very difficult to say. But they signed him to the 53-man roster, I think.
So, with this, Nick Saban players only. It's Bryce Young. It's the quarterback.
Bryce Young is your quarterback. Well, now, hang on.
Or unless you're going Tua?
One Mr. Mac Jones.
No! Oh, you can't touch him.
Can't touch him. I mean...
You can't touch him?
He basically has the setup from 2020.
Yes, because the defense is pretty much going to declare we're in man coverage. We're in these zones.
Give me Jerry Judy. Give me Devontae Smith. Give me Ryan Williams. Maybe Julio just to moss some people. I don't even need a running back. I'll put a receiver back there.
Yeah, you put... you put... not.
Give me... I need Jalen Waddle on this team.
Jalen Waddle has to be on the team.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle. Okay. For me, let's see. What would be the structure? I'm still going Bryce. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I probably would too, but I do think you could at least make the argument just because, given the situation.
Right. The Panthers aren't going to let Bryce play. They say, you're not allowed. Sorry, buddy. All the other 52.
Mac Jones is begging to play.
The Jaguars are like, yeah, you can go. Whatever. So Mac Jones gets to be the quarterback for this all Alabama, this all Nick Saban flag football team, because everybody else is busy. Let's see. Jalen was unavailable to do the White House, so he's definitely unavailable to do our flag football team.
He's got some kind of media appearance. He's got to do some kind of, maybe, who knows.
We go in Jalen Waddle, we go in Devontae Smith and Jerry Jeudy for our wide receivers, to me.
I do love that trio. Ooh, I think we maybe need one jump ball guy, you know, a taller guy, but also love just, I don't know that you can pass up on the route running trio of those three.
Yeah, somebody for your red zone. Because if you get your flag pulled on the 5-yard line, you got to have to throw it in there.
Yeah.
It's Julio's a good pick, but he's a little bit on the
in my head, I'm thinking, you know, prime Julio. So maybe, you know, who do we need now? Maybe somebody that's still active. We haven't seen Isaiah Horton play, but, you know, the body type's there.
Ask Caleb Odom if he wants to come back. Hey, man, we need big body for this.
What's Jai Hall doing? He's out there somewhere.
Hey, what if he popped up in this? I just made it through tryout.
That'd be awesome.
And that's the next time you saw it. That would be amazing. I would I would love it. I would get such a, I mean, talking about 0% possibilities here, but I would love it.
What's OJ Howard up to these days?
OJ would be a great fit for this team, and he can just split out if we need to.
Yeah, he can just be your big body. You only got to run a 5-yard route, buddy. Just get in the end zone, I'm going to throw it to you.
But you definitely, I mean, Pat Surtain, Nick Fitzpatrick, you got Marlon Humphrey. Yeah, it's on for that Alabama secondary in the flag football sphere.
Is there any running back that you want on? I mean,
love Najee, but like that, I don't know if that's a great fit.
Yeah, just Najee. You know, I feel like
Josh Jacobs. Football, it's Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I guess it probably is Josh Jacobs.
I erase him from my mind from where he plays now, but it's Josh Jacobs. Still fast, can operate out of the backfield. Yeah. Can catch all kinds of passes. Yeah, that's
probably the best one.
To me, it's
that team. I think an all Alabama team would win a gold medal at the Olympics pretty handily. I shudder to think what an NFL team is going to do to the Olympics.
I'm
still confused on how the line. Was it one player from each team? Is it one NFL player gets to play on the team? Because if it's only that, you know, you might have other countries might stand a chance.
Right. I the way that I'm reading this is that 32 players will play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From now, many decisions. Rapid growth, girls flag football, flag competition in the Olympics. It's definitely a work in progress. Seek agreement with the NFL. It's not dangerous. The way that I'm understanding this is that all 32 teams can have a representative.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking also.
And then...
So in theory, you've got a pool of 32 NFL players taking on the world in football.
Not a good situation for the world.
Yeah, give me the 32 NFL players.
Olympic flag football competition consists of 6 men's teams and 6 women's teams composed of 10 players per team. Game itself is 5-on-5. As per the teams agreed today, NFL player participation with their country's national flag football teams will begin with a tryout or qualification process to advance to Olympic quality. Is Justin Jefferson trying out?
I got to see these tryouts.
Jamar Chase trying out.
So what is it? Quarterback, 3 receivers, and a running back? And then you just have a guy on his knee throwing the ball back to start the play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Flag football, 75 national member federation.
You know, it might be a fun exercise. What's the worst NFL team that you could make that would still get a gold medal here? I'm putting Taysom Hill at quarterback.
Can I go lower and give you Justin Fields worse? Or Trubisky worse?
Yeah, one of them. I think Justin Fields probably still getting you a gold medal.
Yeah, but is that worse than Taysom Hill? Jameis went. Jameis is higher than Hill.
Yeah,
that's mean, Joe.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's Mac Jones. It's Mac Jones. I'm sorry.
Maybe Cooper Rush. We throw Cooper Rush out there.
Desmond Ridder.
Yeah. All right, Desmond Ridder is not winning you a gold medal.
No. Desmond Ridder throwing a pick six on the last drive. That's exactly right.
Oh man. Yeah, I think you could field a team of practice squad guys and probably still win a gold medal here.
Right, this quarterback for Team USA from the last Olympics is not happy.
The Daryl Doucet.
These guys didn't grow the game.
Homie, buddy, I've watched your highlights, my boy. There's a reason that you're playing flag football. It's just, it does suck for him, I guess. You made your, if he makes money playing flag football, if he just does it out of the love of the game, if he has a job on the side outside of flag, I don't know. It does suck for him if, you know, that was his livelihood that now it may be taken away. But also, man, you're just not better at football than guys who play it professionally. I'm sorry.
Yeah, surely.
You had to have known this was coming.
Surely this is not his real job.
I would not think so. I would hope that it's not.
You get Derek Carr. That's who you get. Retired, buddy.
What's Philip Rivers doing? He's
coaching high school football in like St. Paul, right?
Yeah, Filthy Phil still got it.
Get Kurt Warner out.
You see that clip? I think it was John Gruden went to go see him, and he said he's about to have a son throwing touchdown passes to a grandson in high school.
No.
Because his kids are all that, you know, he says so many kids are that far apart.
Yeah. That's insanity. Yeah. That is insanity.
Crazy.
Go get the surgery. Go get the surgery, Philip. Today. Go get.
Oh, man.
Go get that taken care of.
I'm glad he's doing well. I always love Philip Rivers, one of my favorite players to watch. Dude, all time.
Yes.
Just, I mean, pure electricity every time the man stepped on the field. Never knew what you were going to get.
Dadgummit.
It was either some of the greatest quarterback play you've witnessed or just the most back-breaking interception you can imagine.
Well, we've had a really whirlwind 20 minutes. Why don't we go to the voicemail line and take Dax's voicemail, and then we'll have Katie Windham join us. Sorry, Georgia. No, I'm not sorry, Georgia. It's fine.
They're going to go 10-2.
Yeah, 10-2. Going to the playoffs, losing the first round. It's fine.
That's what I'm thinking. They did have their schedule. I mean,
do you think so? Here's the other thing.
What was it?
Puglisi and Gunnar Stockton, they both are. I believe in May that these guys are both going to be just average enough to win you some games. But next year, when Jared Curtis hits campus, they're going to say, "You're probably off the side, Jared Curtis. You're moving in."
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going to happen. I think we kind of touched on this yesterday, like. I think it's going to be Gunnar Stockton to start the season, but I think he is going to play just good enough to keep the job, but just bad enough to where Puglisi is like right there, just in there. They'll throw him in there. A couple three and outs. All right, get the kid in there, and it's just going to be this nightmare of a quarterback situation for a bit there. Georgia. Probably they're currently riding a 32 game home win streak. I think that goes down this year.
Yeah, I saw that. And I haven't looked at it, but their home schedules over the last handful of years are just not good. You never play Florida at home.
You get Alabama at home.
Right. But like over the, said 32 games.
Yeah.
You never play Florida at home. And then over the last, like we've just recently moved to this schedule where there's no East and West. Mm-hmm. You used to get your rotation at home games, Missouri, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Tennessee, that's gotten better, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Seven, right? Six, seven. I need a seventh.
Why am I Florida?
Oh, yeah, because I didn't because I didn't mark them. Because they're there. Yeah, you're right. No, boom. And Florida's not your home yet.
Yeah.
Like, so your home. And then you're bringing in the Western Tech little school sisters of the poor for your non-conference games. When was your last I remember as a child. Thank you, Father, for this great memory. I remember going to see Georgia Clemson in Sanford Stadium, maybe 2-3-4, somewhere in that range, 1-2-3-4. Dilly Bennett, 50-something yard, 60-something yard, field goal to win the game. It was great. Sweet. But when's the last time that Georgia's had a marquee home game?
Get a couple this year.
Well, yes. Excellent.
Alabama and Ole Miss.
Hotty toddy, gosh almighty, who the hell are we?
Ooh-wee. Also, I would imagine. I did see this. He had at least 4 straight wins against Auburn, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, and Florida. One of those is going down.
Say that again? Close.
You have at least 4 straight victories against Auburn, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, and Florida. I think it's like 8 wins against Georgia Tech, 6 against
Florida. Going down.
One of those. You're losing one of those this year, Georgia. You're losing a handful of win streaks this season.
So here's the issue for Alabama. Georgia plays at home, Marshall and Austin Peay. We're going to win both of them 100-0.
Sure.
Great. Then they go on the road to Tennessee. If they fall into this trap in Knoxville, now I don't even know if it's a trap because you got a bye week the next week. Yeah. But like, this is your first marquee game of the year. Let's get everybody hyped up and rah-rah. So it's not even really a trap. But if you lose in Knoxville, Alabama fans get to deal with Georgia off a bye and a loss at home.
Yeah, it's less than ideal.
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't love that. But see, I don't really believe in that App State UCLA quarterback who's gone into Tennessee. I think that Tennessee's going to be in for a rougher year than and so that trip is not going to be as bad.
No, I think Tennessee's looking at a tough season.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be hell on Josh Heupel this year to get 7-8 wins.
I think 8's okay. It says 7-8.
I haven't looked at their schedule.
Yeah.
But I would imagine they've probably got 7 or 8 baked in wins there.
Syracuse, Eastern Tennessee, Georgia, UAB, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Alabama, Kentucky, Oklahoma, New Mexico State, Florida, and Vanderbilt.
Not bad. Yeah, probably 9-3 or so.
But I just don't think that Georgia's going to have as much trouble going to Knoxville as.
Tennessee's not as intimidating right now as they were if Nico Iamaliava was still there.
So you got them 3-0 in these first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Then losing to Alabama.
Sure.
3-1, beating Kentucky, 4-1, beating the brakes off. Well, hey, is that the next time? I mean, is this Hugh Freeze's signature win? October 11th.
A lot of folks think this Auburn team might be kind of good.
I'm going to be in the camp. I got to believe it. I got to see it before I believe it.
I am also in that.
So I'll give Georgia a win. And then you got Ole Miss at home. No Jackson Dart.
That's true. You got all these transfers at Ole Miss. Now, you've seen this? They have like 3 or 4 transfer quarterbacks.
Hashtag transfer to the
SIP. Don't know what the plan is there. They're just loading up on QBs.
Lane's putting them all through the ringer right now.
Yeah, he's going to just kick a couple out once.
Yes, once it becomes fault. Sorry, buddy. You want to go play receiver? You want to be punt returner?
Yeah.
You want to be a signal man on the sidelines?
I'd probably give him a win against Ole Miss.
I will too. Florida.
He's beating Florida this year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Gators.
Yeah, I like Florida.
They had you last year.
Yep, I like Florida too much. I think Billy Napier has had that game circled since the second the clock hit 0 last year. And he's just been waiting.
You think his dip spit target has Kirby Smart in it?
Yeah. Every day.
I'm going to get that. Then you're at Mississippi State. Georgia's going to crush them.
So bad for Mississippi State.
Okay, you bring Texas at home. Ooh-hoo.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that one. Oh, that's juicy.
Hook 'em, baby.
Give me Georgia. I'll take Georgia again. I think Kirby Smart owns Steve Sarkisian.
Chris Walsh, could I have November the 15th off and to head to Athens? Because I'll be doing that the whole time. I would love that.
I think Kirby owns Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, he has.
I'm going to ride with dogs.
Dogs. Them dogs as hell. Then you're crushing Charlotte by 1,000,000 points, yeah. And then you have Virginia Tech. So that leaves us with our 10-2.
That feels good. That feels like a good spot for Georgia. And then
10-2, you've lost to Alabama.
You're rolling the dice in the playoff there. You're happy you're getting in, and you're saying, 10-2, you might win an SEC title with that.
Right. You've lost to Alabama and Florida. You're still in that picture of are we going to Atlanta or not? So great job, Georgia. You are college football playoff bound again.
How good is it now? I know we hate a lot of the realignment and things, but how nice is it now that we're talking about a team that will be potentially 10-2, and it's like they're going to be right on the bubble getting to Atlanta? You used to just be like, man, you lose, you're out. I'm glad that it is no longer that. That is one of the few nice things I think that has come of all of this shifting around with college football is you just don't have to be perfect anymore.
It worked out last year. I was worried about it last year with the convoluted schedules and having so many people. Like, the standings eventually broke to where you had two clear teams.
It was going to be an eight-way tie.
That was, like, really stressing me out. That was really, really stressful. And so I was thinking, oh, my goodness, SEC, have we done the wrong thing here? Because you're going to create so many arguments where we should be in Atlanta. But thankfully, the football gods and the powers that be, you ended up having two clear teams. I'm hopeful that trend continues, but I'm not expecting
that. I mean, other places it does, seemingly, you know. Now I understand the level of competition top to bottom is not exactly the same in other conferences as it is in the SEC. But I think, you know, you just kind of got to watch it work. Just trust the system.
So them Georgia Bulldogs going to be another great year.
Will they think it's a great year?
No, they won't think it's a good. They fell into.
They've gotten into championship or die.
They fell into the mentality way quicker. In my now,
they got there before they even won one.
Yes.
They were there in 2018.
Right, we're not satisfied with this SEC title hooey. Like, yeah, my father, who has a brain, who he was. I remember him not enjoying firing Mark Rick because it was remember Ray Goff, remember these others.
I remember making the argument, like, to a lot of people, just like, are you sure that, you know, that guy, he wins 9-10 games a year? Do you really know that that's what you want to do, Georgia? And obviously, it has worked out. But man, that was a massive risk at the time.
What do you think about Kirby Smart adopting the Nick Saban angle over the last couple of? I'm going to say weeks, but it may be longer. You got him in public spheres talking about saving the other non-revenue sports. I'm talking about this future of college athletics. And really, that's been the coach Saban lane and angle that people do not really give him any credit for. They always talk about, oh, you just want to get your money because you're going to protect the system. Yeah. But Coach Saban has always said it's about the women's tennis team and the crew team and the opportunities that it is for the cross country team and track team, that sort of thing. And that might be a little bit of lip service, but I do think it's a legitimate concern. I mean, these coaches do rub elbows in the same dinner circles, in the same social circles. So, like, I mean, you become friends. You don't want to see, hey, coach, whatever, you just lost your program.
If there were no kinds of guardrails or anything in place, it would be football and basketball. It'd be the only sports we have anywhere because they're the only ones that make money anywhere. Luckily, we're able to have all of these other sports because those things spread the money out and they keep those things afloat. And I think that's good for college. It gives athletes the opportunity in high school. It gives young athletes the opportunity to go to college and play sports and to potentially go further than that if there's a professional or an avenue to go professional. You know, I think that's great. I think it's good that Kirby Smart is doing that. You know, I hope that more coaches continue to kind of carry that same banner, because I think that's a lot of the complaint from people on the other side of it is like, well, you just want to protect football. And it's like, well, that's not the case with a lot of people, and they need to be more vocal about that.
Yeah, I think if they keep hammering that angle, they might actually get some change in football, because it's like, you're going to eliminate scholarships in name whatever ancillary sports you don't like. That's real people. Yeah. That's real people that are getting real educations, that are going somewhere with their lives usually. And you don't want to, I eliminating that is a bit dangerous. And if we need to curb everything by 5, 10, 15%, sorry, you don't have T-bone steaks in the cafeteria. I think that would be the move, really.
Man, I was listening to you talk about T-bone steaks in the cafeteria, listening to you, when you talk about Josh Jacobs earlier. You know, did his podcast circuit the last couple weeks or so, was on a handful of shows talking about, you know, heard it, listened to the episode of him talking about the food and Bryant Hall there. I mean, he's like, man, they
from a homeless person.
They ate king crab. I mean, like T-bones. It was the way he describes it. It's like every day was just a full 5-course meal, like 5-star. You know, it was just fantastic. More power to them, I guess. You know, when you're as good as you are at what you do, maybe I guess you deserve it. But I think maybe we could spread that a little bit if we need to.
All right, so let's put a pin in this. Dax left us a voicemail. We were going to get to that tomorrow. I think it's on linebackers. we were too scattered today trying to finish up the Georgia conversation, touching on Olympics and flag football. And what was the first thing we talked about? Oh, Bush, Jalen Hurts. Love you, Jalen. All right, so let's shift gears a little bit and get smarter. We are going to be joined by Katie Windham. Katie Windham, lead writer for BamaCentral.com. We're going to talk about Alabama softball, but we're going to hit a couple football topics as well. Mason, why don't you, after we hit the Warren Tire ad, welcome Katie and throw her this straight seating bracket right after that we talk and tell them about Warren Tire.
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad on University Boulevard, so we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then. And so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
We welcome our friend Katie Windham here. Katie, we're going to get into some softball talk with you. Thank you for joining us. But first, before we do any of that, I've got to hit you with a bit of breaking news that that broke right before we sat down to start recording. As I'm making my way over here, I see it pop up on my phone, and I send it straight to Joe because this is groundbreaking stuff, it seems like, for the college football playoff. According to our friend Ross Dellinger, college football executives are expected to adopt a straight seeding model for this year's college football playoff. And I guess I just have to ask you, what is your reaction to that? Is that something that you had wanted to happen, something you had hoped would happen this year?
Well, this is the first time hearing of this because
great.
About 20 minutes ago. So I haven't really looked at Twitter a ton yet, but it's just so interesting with the CFP. Basically, if you don't like how it is, don't worry because it's going to change. Like,
yes,
nothing lasts too long in this. You know, like we move from to 12, and then they're saying it's going to be 14, and then we had the whole thing with the champions got the automatic bye. I think if they're going to do the straight seating, I don't know. I feel like there might be less incentive for the conference championship games, or they may have to kind of rework that a little bit. But I mean, it makes more sense. Like, I mean, most sports you seed straight up who is the best, you know. You don't like it was kind of crazy that I guess who ended up being the 4 seed last year, Arizona State.
Yes.
They were, you know, what in the final rankings?
Like, they would have been, if it in straight seeding, they would have been 11.
Mm-hmm. But, like, what were they – but they were ranked below that, weren't they? Like, if it was just – which I know – so they're saying conference champions still will get in. They just will not get the top 4 seed anymore.
Yeah, I exactly. Think you still get your automatic qualifier, just not your bye week.
So your byes last year would have been Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4. You end up with your automatic qualifiers. Arizona State is in a 6-11 game at Ohio State. You have Clemson beat SMU,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so Clemson at 12 at Notre Dame, and Georgia beat Texas. Georgia gets the AQ. ACC. Big 12 was Ohio State. Yeah. No.
Big 12 was.
No, Penn State. Oregon beat Penn State in the Big Ten championship.
Yes.
Oregon beat Penn State.
Everything runs together.
Goodness
now.
Gracious. And the Big 12.
We got too many games. It's too many games.
So, Katie Windham, the biggest thing is, really, with these playoffs, it is the automatic qualifiers. Is it fair to, okay, Arizona State, you're at 11. Clemson, you're at 12. These automatic qualifiers get kind of, you won the Big 12, Arizona State, but now you get to go to Ohio State. You won the ACC, Clemson, but now you got to go to Notre Dame in these hypotheticals from last year. Do you think this is a good change for the college football playoff? You said it's always changing. Do you think this is a positive direction?
Yeah, I think so, because it makes more sense to reward the best teams instead of – it kind of goes back to the argument there used to be every year around the four seed of, is it the best or the most deserving? And I think this will reward the best teams because, yeah, it puts – I mean, if you win your conference championship and then you're putting that 12 seed, but, like, if you were in a soft conference and are consistently worse than other teams. And, I mean, because didn't Clemson lose last year to multiple SEC teams?
Lost to Georgia in the first week of the year.
And then did they lose to South Carolina then, or South Carolina?
I think they did.
Yeah, I think South Carolina beat them.
So it's like, so head-to-head, like, they won the ACC, so sure, they should get in, but, like, which, like, last year they ended up being the lowest-seeded conference champion anyway. But, I think that's a good thing. I think it'll create more – hopefully it will create more balanced games, more deserving teams that get the bye week, that there will be less teams that get screwed, like Oregon did, having to face Ohio State week one, or not week one, but their first game in the playoffs. So, yeah, I guess it's a good thing. I don't feel super strong about this either way. Strongly, I guess, would be the correct grammar. Let's see if – I think for Alabama fans, the biggest focus instead of the format is can they crack the top 12 this year?
Let's go right there. Because I was on Mobile radio station yesterday and they were asking expectations and this, that, and the other. Is it fair to bore in the second year? And I said, yeah, it's playoff or trouble. Playoff or trouble. So, Katie, just what do you think? Will Kalen DeBoer have his team in this field of 12 next year?
Oh, it's definitely fair to put them there, especially now that it is 12 instead of just 4. Like, you just have to make the top 11, basically. And really, if you're Alabama football, you should be. And based on that little self-produced documentary they put out on SEC Network, like, they know that, you know. I don't know if either of y'all watched that, but it started with the clip of Kalen post-game Michigan in the ReliQuest Bowl. And then the whole thing was basically about, well, I mean, after talking about how good they are as a program, how good the academics and weight room and all that stuff is, it was talking about how they know that last year wasn't the standard, and supposedly there's so many leaders on this team and they know what they have to do and they know what they're supposed to do, and a lot of these guys came back for their fifth or sixth year because they want to win a national championship and they've never gotten to win one here besides Jamarian Latham. So I think it's a totally fair expectation. I don't think it's necessarily that he will be or should be fired if he doesn't make it in year two, but I think it's going to be – it will make the year three seat scorching hot if he doesn't even make the playoffs this year. Especially because he took a Washington team to the championship game, and that was a 4-team playoff. You know, so it's like he's capable of it. I think this year will be a lot more fair way for us to judge Kalen DeBoer, because it's still not obviously fully his players, but it's more his players or guys that have chosen to stay loyal to him. I think it'll be more being able to run the system he wants. He has Ryan Grubb, who was the OC he originally wanted. And so, yeah, I think if they're still not in after this year, there's a lot of concern. Because really, in Alabama, just making the playoff isn't even the standard either. Y'all both know that. The fans know that. They know that. but certainly not making it is really going to be close to not acceptable.
I'd like to ask you, you bring up this little documentary that went up on SEC Network earlier in the week. Ryan Williams had a interesting comment in this documentary, and I guess he probably didn't think it would. He didn't mean to make it interesting, but people latched onto it, talking about the buy-in from last year wasn't where it needs to be. And then he's like, okay, everybody that's here this year is bought into Kalen DeBoer. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I don't know, because it's like the opposite of what, I mean, they would tell us last year.
Sure,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, everything they say, it's hard to take full stock in. So, I mean, if they feel like that, then that's great for them that this team's more bought in, then they should definitely be in the playoffs because they have the talent to be. They have, you know, Kalen's talked about, he talked about in the documentary, he talked about at the region's tradition. He's talked about on radio, you know, the continuity of this staff and these players. It's not just across the players, it's across the staff too. And so, if they feel like people are more bought in, then yeah, that should, if anything, just raise the expectations. It would be interesting to know, I guess, which we never will know, but like who he considered to be not bought in last year. Maybe it's all the guys that entered the portal and left Alabama in the winter portal window. Maybe. Doubt it. But I mean, it could be some of them if because it's understandable if you're not getting the playing time you want, why it's harder to be bought in. But you know, it's hard for me to take full stock in anything that they say.
100%. I think it's all there's some lip service and happening to some degree in almost every answer. Katie, we appreciate you joining us today on the Joe Gaither Show. You are the lead writer for Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, and yesterday you were very busy. What did you find out about Chris Fleming, Nate Oates' new assistant coach? You've made a hire, so now the Klontz, right, Austin Klontz left. His vacancy is now filled with Chris Fleming. You wrote about it for BamaCentral.com. Please go read Katie Windham's work. What did you find out about Chris Fleming, Alabama's newest assistant basketball coach?
Yeah, Nate's kind of running to the Chicago Bulls well again. He's not coming straight from the Bulls, but he's worked for the Bulls. It's kind of – that's been one of Oates' patterns, is which I think Klontz left – last offseason, and I think
Pannone, I'm pretty sure that left this.
Oh, no, yes, no. Thank you. I'm sorry.
It is a third straight offseason that he's had to replace an assistant with that's gone on to be head coach somewhere, which, you know, three offseasons ago was, or two, however you want to look at it, was when all three left to go become head coaches. And so this has kind of been one of his moves, is going and getting a guy from the NBA. And so, most recently, Fleming's been with the Trailblazers. He spent a lot of time, he played college basketball, went undrafted, went and played pro ball in Germany. Then spent a lot of time coaching over in Germany, was the coach of the German national team. So he coached Dirk Nowitzki for a little bit. So that's kind of an interesting background to bring to Alabama. But he's not German. He's American. He just spent a lot of time over there. I do wonder if he speaks German. I would love to hear that. Not that we ever get to talk to the assistants. But
is he going to be able to turn Aiden Sherrill into Dirk Nowitzki? That's what we need. So. Yeah. That's what we need.
I don't know how much developing he did of Dirk. He may have already been at that point, but because he was the national team coach from 2014 to 2017.
Oh, so okay.
Pretty good.
Maybe he wasn't there for the development.
Yeah, he was on the back end of his career. But yeah, it kind of like I said, just kind of fits the mold of what Nate's like to do, go get a guy from the NBA, which I always find it interesting. A lot of times I feel like in football, I feel like you're less likely to see. Once a guy reaches the NFL, it's less likely for them to come back to college, especially for another assistant job, maybe if they're going to get head coaching job. But this is kind of work for Nate to go get NBA assistants, come be assistants at Alabama. And I think from what I understand, it seems like they have Preston Murphy handle a lot of the recruiting and all that kind of stuff. And maybe the other assistants can focus a little bit more on basketball, because I know a lot of guys, once they've worked in the pros, don't really want to do the recruiting stuff as much. So seems like a good hire. Seems like a good fit. My sister, shout out to her. She kind of knows. She sent me a screenshot from her Yay Alabama email that was like breaking. She was like, "Do you need to know this?" I was like, "Yes, I do." And I was trying to be the first one to get it up, but I think Nick Kelly beat us. But yeah, it's seems like a good hire. Kind of what Nate likes to do, and it's worked in the past when they brought these NBA guys in, and that's obviously the goal for a lot of the high-level recruits that commit to Alabama, so they want to get to the NBA. And so I'm sure working with a guy he's worked for four different NBA teams for about a decade is good experience for them. He can kind of tell them what the NBA wants. And so I think it's a good – even if he doesn't even if he's not super active in recruiting, it's a good recruiting tool that he's worked in the NBA.
Want to pivot us to softball now. I know you were at Patrick Murphy's press conference. I want to just ask you what Coach had to say in preparation for Oklahoma. You know, obviously a big series coming up, big challenge coming up for Alabama. You know, you did get the series win earlier, but not sure if that really even plays into, comes into play here, so far removed from that one. So what did Patrick Murphy give us? Was there anything, you know, kind of juicy from that press conference that stuck out to you?
I think if anything, them playing already works against Alabama, because Oklahoma is a team that, like, even though they've won four national championships in a row, loves to have a chip on their shoulder for any reason. And so I think the fact that they lost that series earlier will just have them extra fired up for this weekend. Really for Murph, you know, he just talked about they have nothing to lose going into this weekend. It's similar to last year when they were the 14 facing Tennessee is the 3. This year they're the 15 facing Oklahoma is the 2. So they have nothing to lose. They're the underdog. You know, Oklahoma's the favorite. They were saying they're excited because as many times as they've played Oklahoma, this is actually the first time Alabama softball has ever played in Norman. And Oklahoma has the new softball stadium that opened last year, I think, Loves Field, that took over the title from Rhodes. It's the largest on-campus softball facility, which is kind of funny seeing Alabama tinker with the numbers a little bit for certain games, trying reclaim that. Somebody told him that, you know, Murph, it's just going to be like playing at Rhodes, except all the fans are going to be screaming against you. So he said he's told the players to act like they're screaming for you, you know, and it's not like these players are going to be intimidated. A lot of them have played in Supers, have played at the Women's College World Series before. They've obviously all already played Oklahoma this season. And so I think there was kind of a little bit of an aura of confidence coming from, we talked to Murph and Marley Giles, and kind of just a looseness of, yeah, they do have nothing to lose and a lot to gain. Like, they can knock out Oklahoma's path to a five-peat, which is just even insane to say. But it's going to be very tough to do, but obviously they have the ability to do it. I think it's going to take he said kind of what it's going to take is the pitchers have to keep Oklahoma in the ballpark. This isn't as big of a slugging team as Oklahoma has been the last couple of years during their insane stretch, but still they have some power hitters that you cannot – let them hit home runs. You can't make errors, give them free passes to let people on, and then somebody clears the bases with a home run. You know, they've kind of got to get the key hit. That's always a thing for them. Last weekend, they started the regional championship game against Virginia Tech with a leadoff triple, and don't bring that run in. You probably can't afford to do that against a team like Oklahoma. If you get your leadoff person on with a triple, you probably need to bring her in. So he didn't say that, but just kind of things like that are going to be important for Alabama this weekend.
The series starts on Friday at 4:00. You can watch it on ESPN2. Saturday, the game will be 2:00, and that will be aired on ESPN. You can follow all the coverage on BamaCentral.com. Katie Williams going to be covering it all this weekend. Last weekend, Alabama's pitching plan pretty much went perfectly as far as the plan and paired with execution. What do you think the plan will be? Obviously, the execution will yet to be seen, but what do you think the plan will be as far as handling Jocelyn Brisky, Caitlin Riley, maybe mixing in Emily Winstad? What do you think Murphy's plan is going to be in the circle?
I think the plan will be Brisky, Riley, Brisky. Like, they'll have Brisky start on Friday, which if I believe in the regular season, that's how it was. But then now I'm trying to remember if Caitlin Riley started the first game. I know Brisky pitched the last one. But I think just based on kind of how things have been lately, I think it'll be Brisky starting on Friday. And obviously they want a good start out of her. And I think she will have a relatively short leash if she starts getting into trouble. But we saw, you know, in that game on Sunday against Virginia Tech, she walks the first two batters, gives up two runs in the first inning, potentially gives up a third. After review, the girl is out at the plate. And I think that's huge, because if that girl's safe, the inning keeps going. I think they may have taken her out then. I guess that was in the second.
Saturday. Yeah, it was the Saturday game.
Saturday game, not the championship game, because Riley started the championship game. But then you would have had to pitch Riley, and then who knows what your situation is on Sunday. And so, I think that's what they'll go with. I think in a ideal world, Emily Winstead, Ailey Johnson, Brea Hodges are never seeing the circle this weekend, unless it's like a super ideal world and you're up 15 to one, but I don't really see any world where that happens. So
on that Friday game that Alabama lost, was it 5-1, Caitlin Riley pitched 5.2 innings, giving up four hits, but it was Brisky coming in 1.1 innings, giving up three runs on one hit, two earned runs, walking a batter. So it kind of fell apart late there for Brisky and Ailey Johnson.
Yeah. It was, yeah, Riley had, they were scoreless heading into that inning, and then I think, did she give up like a solo home run maybe? And then it kind of just opened the floodgates with the Oklahoma offense a little bit.
Yes, Bland, M. Bland, homer right field, two RBI.
Shit, home run, yeah, I think, yeah.
And it just went from there. So you've got, you had really good pitching, I thought, last week, yeah, except for that Saturday morning. The offense was here and there. Now, it was there when it needed to be, especially in clutch situations, but you won 2 1-run games last week against Virginia Tech. You hit on leaving the runner at third base in that Sunday game. And, oh, my gosh, I thought that was going to come back to haunt Alabama. Ooh, just an offensive overview. Because 12 months ago, we're sitting here having this conversation saying, will they hit a softball? Will they get on base? Just your offensive overview 12 months later and where they stand going into the biggest series of the year.
Yeah, I think having a true leadoff threat this year and Audrey Vandegrift has made all the difference. Having somebody that's hit over 400 all year long, has had an OBP over 500, you can't ask for much more out of a leadoff, like somebody that's going to get on every other time, essentially. Callie Heavlin, though, has really been the MVP. She's kind of solidified herself in that three spot. She leads the team in home runs, is now tied for the team lead in RBIs. She has been somebody that throughout really the first 3 years of her career, she was like, very inconsistent at the plate, might have a couple clutch moments, but was definitely not consistent. It was hitting in the, you know, mid 200s. It kind of raised it maybe last year to the 270, 280 ish. And the fact that she's been consistently, what is she at right now? Probably in the 360 range. Let's see. Alabama, by the way, I don't know if any of y'all have noticed this, but as of last night, I noticed when I was doing a roll call, has change Roll Tide stats a little bit, but it's actually better now because you can arrange it by category again. Oh, Callie's at 371 now. Having her in the middle of the lineup is a true kind of power threat, somebody that can drive runs in. Brooke Ellisad came in and transferred and she's the other one tied for the team lead in RBIs. Just having people to drive runs in has been huge, but also you have to have people on base in order to score. And it was just, I mean, truly the last 3 years was just abysmal. Like watching game after game of them inning after inning of three up, three down, just not able to get people on base. And I think you have threats from the top to the bottom of the lineup, and that's different too. In the past, you kind of had black holes in the lineup of, you basically know that girl is not going to get on base, like, or get a hit. She's just not. She's batting 200. It's just probably, and a lot of those hits came in the non-conference week games. So she's probably not going to get a hit against a great pitcher. But like you had Murph had Abby Dukeshire in the 8-hole this past weekend, which she didn't have a great weekend at the plate. She had an okay weekend, but I think she's probably second on the team in home runs, or third. And the fact that she's in the 8-hole, you know, just kind of shows that they have variety. And then he has the speed of this team. He talked before the season, he wanted them to lead the nation in steals and home runs. They don't lead in either. They're close in steals, not anywhere close to home runs. The power still hasn't been quite this year I think he had hoped. But the speed has really made a lot of difference, too. Audrey Vandegrift, obviously 50 steals as a freshman. It puts a lot of pressure on the opposing defenses. And Oklahoma's not a team that's necessarily going to be intimidated by that. But it creates a lot of issues on the base pass, puts pressure on the defense when you have the type of speed that Alabama does, because they know certain players like Audrey, like Larissa Pruitt, like Kristen White, if she plays, like if they put it in play, you've got to make a good play to get them out. And so there's just a variety of ways that the Alabama offense has been able to get on base and score runs that has been refreshing, I'll say, to cover this year compared to a lot of the games I've had to sit through at Rhodes the last couple of years.
Katie Windham's going to be covering Alabama softball all weekend long on BamaCentral.com. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Alabama getting started at 4 o'clock on Friday on ESPN2. 2 o'clock on Saturday on ESPN. Then there will be an if necessary game on Sunday. Katie, let me pivot you real quick to a video you sent me at the start of the week. And I'm sure that everyone has seen it by now because it's gotten millions and millions and trillions of views. My old high school, Macaulay School in Chattanooga, put out a social media video filming their graduating seniors as freshmen and then as seniors. And they are asking questions. Hey, is your favorite food this? Is your favorite color still that? What's your favorite? What's your dreams? That sort of thing. But it was a great video. And I'm sure you all saw it and enjoyed it. I want to steal one aspect of the video, Katie, and get smarter from you. And Mason, I'm going to spin it to you too because I need your advice. Katie Windham, you are not a child, but definitely an adult. What would you tell your advice? What advice would you give your younger self? You've been in the industry for quite some time. You graduated college for a little bit of time, so you've got some life experience under you now. What advice would Katie Windham give to young Katie Windham, say middle school, high school, somewhere in that range?
I think I would tell my younger self there's a couple like personal things and then probably some professional things. Personally, I would say stay rooted in God's word. That's the most important thing. That's going to root you in everything else. It's going to lead you, men will fail, but God's word will last forever and has better advice than anyone else or what your heart will tell you to do. Find good community. Like, it's going to be tough at times. People aren't always nice, but find good community. Especially I wish I would, at the beginning of college, I would have gotten involved in a church sooner. I would say if a guy is only texting you after 10 p.m., he's probably not a good guy. Probably doesn't have good intentions. Not worth getting upset over. Professionally, I'd say chase your dream. A lot of people would say it's not super practical to work in sports media, which it might not be the most stable career. But if it's something you're passionate about and interested in, go for it. Colleges have programs in it for a reason. You'll get to learn some cool stuff, meet some cool people, do some cool things that most people would really like to do. And is it as stable or as financially prosperous as accounting or lawyer or, all those things? No, but you also don't have to do this forever. It's something that's fun to do. And it does put food on the table at the end of the day. So chase your passions, see if it's worth doing. And if it's not, you can always pivot to something else. So that would kind of be some of my advice to younger me.
I love that. I love that. Oh, just 2 seconds of silence. Cause I love that. And then you go, Mason.
Yeah, that was good. I'd probably piggyback off that a little bit. And just like, if you are doing something and you are actively realizing like, I don't like what I'm doing, just stop doing it. Don't do that. I spent a lot of time when I was in college trying to chase a degree where I spent like 2 years. All of this sucks. And I never finally took me to realize one day, like I sat down and I was like, why am I doing this? I hate doing all of this work. I'm going to change what I'm doing. And now I'm enjoying what I do. So, I understand it's a lot easier said than done for a lot of people doing what you love to do. But if you have the opportunity, jump at it. Don't be worried about, like Katie said, whether or not it's super monetarily sound or anything like that. Like, if you enjoy doing it, you will not really care as much about not getting paid what, some lawyer's getting paid somewhere.
I love it. I thought that video was so...
That was a cool video.
And yes, personal to me because I went to school there, but those young men and their answers were just so like, yes, that's what we've been... That's what I was taught in that school. It just seemed like those guys were getting it. And so I really wish them well. And goodness gracious, I thought that was a great project. I don't have the foresight, Katie, to do a project that has a 7-year gap in it. I'm going to film you, and then 7 years later, you're going to film you later. I thought that alone was it was commendable.
You got to get the Alabama kid on the show.
Ooh, I think that isn't outside the realm of possibility. Yeah. We should do that.
I think they've been making the rounds on like the Today Show and all that stuff, but I'm sure he's got time for Macaulay alum, the Joe Gaither show.
We're on the same level as the Today Show, I would say.
You know, everybody's watching us. We're on ABC. Yeah, it's all good.
At the same time as the Today Show. Yeah.
I was telling Joe, right, and I don't know, it might have gotten picked right at the beginning of the show, but my high school tried to do a similar thing when I was in school. I think it was our freshman year. They had us write a letter to ourselves as seniors, and we were supposed to receive it after we graduated. It was supposed to they were supposed to send it to us all at home. Mm-hmm. I never got that. Just never got the letter I wrote to myself. Don't know what happened there. I don't know if anybody else never got it also, or if I was just the only one. But someone had a slip up there. They weren't quite as diligent as this school was.
See, I went to a K-12 school, so we would do in fifth grade. We did these memory boxes. They're kind of like time capsules. I'm trying to remember if we wrote stuff to ourselves in those, but we would all open them. There was on our senior day at school where people wore their college t-shirt and their robes, and we would open our fifth grade memory boxes, which if the kids that weren't there in fifth grade, their parents could just give them something else to do, or they just sit there and watch the rest of us. But it was funny, which my fifth grade year was it would have been Saban's second year. And so I was very jacked on Alabama football in fifth grade.
That was a great year. That was
a good time to be a kid.
That was the year I worked for the team, Katie. It was a fun time. Great, great year.
Yeah, ending that year meant a lot for me personally, ending the 6-year losing streak to Auburn, living in Montgomery. Yeah. So.
Well, let's get out of here for the day. I know Katie's going to have a busy day getting ready to cover softball over the weekend. Please follow Katie Windham at Katie Windham _ lead writer for BamaCentral.com, keeping all of us in line. Whew, big task. She's going to be covering all things softball. We'll be, no more Alabama in Hoover. I'm going up to Hoover for Vanderbilt tonight, so that'll be what I'm doing. We'll be back on Friday. Dax has a voice on linebackers in the tank. We'll hit that. And we'll get into a lot of Friday topics tomorrow. Katie, thank you so much for your day. Thank you for your time. And I hope you have a great afternoon.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. That's Katie Windham joining us. Mason, let's get out of here, man. We want to wish everybody a great day. And we'll talk to y'all on Friday on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.